have scored a direct stab in those sons of bitches' hearts. We got to keep running the knife in, though, folks. We got to keep running it in there. Not worry what they're doing, Dutchess. You wanted to fight? You're getting it. You wanted to overrun us and poison us and take our families and kill us? You will die, not us.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Track kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Koontz, back with you again. So nice to be with you. So that was an Alex Jones clip that I played at the very beginning there, right after the static. If there's one bright spot to come out of this election this year, folks, you're really missing out on just grade A WWE-style radio. If you're a fan of radio, I think everybody's heard of Alex Jones. He used to be this really big conspiracy guy, and I think he's kind of laid off of that a little bit. He's still kind of wonky with some stuff, but he doesn't really get into like lizard people or anything like that anymore. He's very focused on this election, and he is melting down, folks, right in front of our eyes. And I love watching it. I love listening to it. It's hysterical. There's been so many things. There's this, I think it was Cafe, had this great clip video that they posted. They edited it a little bit to make it, you know, a little more dramatic, but he just freaking melted down. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I was watching it earlier on Facebook. John Jacobs and I both love Alex Jones melting down. We send each other clips constantly. Is this it? Yeah, this is it. Let's listen to this real quick. Oh, wait, I gotta... Sorry. Here we go. Very professional here, folks. What can I tell you? Let's listen to Alex Jones melt down on this Cafe clip.
God.
He's crying.
So evil. Why can't America wake up and beat him?
He's literally crying right now. And these are real tears, you can tell.
Donald Trump's not perfect, but he doesn't want to hurt you and your family. Hillary and Obama want to make you poor and pathetic. We have all their white papers. They hate you. They hate prosperity. They hate God. They hate children. And goddamn them now. We're going to find the lever to beat these people, and they're going to be beaten. Look at her shark face. Have to look at her with that demon face. That's a freaking demon. We're going to have President Linda Blair, people, and I'm not going to go along with it.
Oh, I love it.
Excuse me.
And then he calms himself down eloquently. Alex Jones, folks, is a national treasure. He's a treasure to not only radio, but to the United States. What a patriot he is. As you can tell, he's a big Donald Trump guy. And I really think he's starting to believe that Hillary Clinton really is the devil. I think this is real on his end. And I feel bad for him, man. You gotta take a break. But he can't. He's got to do what she does, a show. The guy's a hustler, man. He's super rich. He started. He's young, too. I think he's only like 42 or 43 years old. And he started doing radio when he's like in his early 20s or something, and built up this empire of InfoWars pretty much on his own, I guess. And he's just terrific. So you got to give it up for Alex Jones. But, dude, you got to take a break, man. I swear, I think I told you this already, but I was following him on Twitter for a little while. Had to stop. I tapped out pretty quick. But on his show, and I was even listening to his show, now I only watch the Meltdown clips because people on YouTube will just find them and get them real quick and cut them down for you so I don't have to go through all the nonsense. He does stuff, like, on purpose to, like, I guess, like, demean something. Because he was talking about Pokemon a while ago, and he would pronounce it wrong. And you knew that he knew how to pronounce it, okay? And he would call it Pokemon, and it made me laugh really hard every time he did it. And then I sent him a tweet, not saying he saw it, but I think probably a lot of people sent it to him, like, hey, you're pronouncing it wrong, idiot. And on the show, he's like, oh, they got the Pokemon. It's a global Google conspiracy to track you and your family. And then he went, by the way, I know it's Pokemon. I just do it because I like saying it that way. And I got a big kick out of that. So if you get a chance, check out Alex Jones Melting Down on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. So what's going on around here? It was a good week this week. We had... I mentioned that Ian Beckles was potentially going to do a podcast on HMB Radio. Well, guess what, folks? The first one is in the can. It is up right now on HMBRadio.com. Just go to the Listen tab. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher. Just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay. I'm really stoked to have Ian. If you don't know who Ian Beckles is, he was an ex-Buccaneer back in the 90s. Offensive lineman, played 6 years here during that time, and then came back to do radio on WDAE with Ron Diaz for many years, I think like 10 years or something. And he just started, he broke off from Ron, and now he's doing a show on 102.5 The Bone. And he mentioned that he wanted to do a podcast, and I said, I know how to do that. So we hooked him up, and I went over there Monday and recorded a podcast, and it was really cool. I got to actually sit down with him on his first podcast, and we talked about the Monday Night Football game where the Bucks took on the Panthers, which, I will say, I picked the Bucks to win. Ian did not. So who's the real winner here, folks, if you ask me? But it was really cool getting to, like, shoot the stuff with a real broadcaster who's been doing it for many years. He was a little taken aback. He seemed, like, a little nervous about it. I told him it's just radio without breaks, or it's easier. You don't have to break for anything. You don't have to do station identifications. You know, you just talk. And he's a natural at it. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. So it's an easy transition for him. I'm stoked to have him. We're going to be doing it once a week. I think mainly concentrating on the Bucks, but just sports in general. On his 102.5 The Bone show that airs Sundays 11 to 1 now, he doesn't really get the opportunity to talk sports like he did with Ron for 4 hours every day. So on this podcast, he's going to have the ability to get more in-depth into Tampa Bay sports. So check it out. It's pretty awesome. I'm stoked to have him. And I consider him part of HMB Radio now. And that's, like, you know, awesome for me. I don't know if he sees it that way. He just knows I record it and I send him a link, and that's all he knows. But, hey, I'll take it. So make sure you subscribe to HMB Radio on iTunes and Stitcher to keep up with my show here, The Homemade Broadcast, and Ian's show, which we are calling the Dignitary Radio Podcast, as well as James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast. We were putting the City Hall podcast up too, but I kind of got lazy with that and stopped posting them. But they are all available on the RadioSaintPete.com archive. They're all there. The last one we did was with... all about the St. Pete Pier. So all your questions that you wanted to know about the pier, many of them have probably been answered on that podcast. So just go to RadioSaintPete.com/archive, and they'll all be there for you. What else we got going on? I guess we can do the reads. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Slybar.com. Check it out. Food and drinks. I don't think they do any events anymore except trivia now, but they got their restaurant cooking, so they're, I think, mainly concentrating on that. And Truvy Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, St. Pete. You can call Chrissy Parker at 727-329-9751 for all of your hair and salon needs. Spa needs. I don't know what you do. Get facials and your haircut and all that stuff. I don't know. But Chrissy's good at her job. So make sure you go see her at truvysalonandspa.com. Today's guest, we have Gabe Maldonado coming in. He is a MMA fighter. I think like the president or owner of Gracie St. Pete. So he's going to tell us about that. And it should be great. We're just waiting on him to get in here. I had a little run-in today. I really dislike scummy business practices, which I know, bold statement. I know we all do. I had a run-in with Onnit today. Onnit is a supplement company that I think is Joe Rogan's thing. I saw this deal where it was you could try a free sample of this mood stabilizer thing. All you had to do was pay shipping. It was $3.99. It was a two-week sample. So, yeah, all right, I'll try that out. So I did that and unknowingly subscribed to their monthly service where they will send you a bottle a month for a fair price of $54.99 a month. Obviously did not want to do that because, as you know, I am poor and don't really have the money to buy supplements for $55 a month. Are you out of your mind? So luckily it was through PayPal. PayPal is really good with, customer relations and stopping payments. So they stopped it right away. I emailed Onnit, said, hey, I didn't authorize this. They responded with, yes, you did, because when you clicked the shipping, you agreed to a subscription service. Now, I know, I complain about this constantly, that people do not read emails or anything else. They read a few sentences in. But I didn't know I had to read for something like that. I mean, you're ordering a sample, you're paying the shipping, that's it. Paying $3.99. Deal's done. Get my sample. I hate when they sneak in this little stuff. They were really cool about it, though. They're like, yeah, I know there's a, you did subscribe to this, but I know there's a lot of readings, so we've canceled your subscription. Thank you, Onnit. I appreciate that. But I will never consider buying anything from you ever again, just because of that little thing. I don't know what I'm getting. I'm afraid to buy anything, because who knows what I'm signing up for every time. It's a really crappy thing to do to people. Hey, this is free. It's never free, folks. There's no such thing as free. So I learned my lesson today. Onnit is done. They'll never get another red cent out of old boy Bill down here. So anywho, I guess we'll get to Gabe here. He should be here shortly. Going to talk about MMA fighting and I'm going to ask him a bunch of people, see if he can beat them up or not. And other stuff, I'm sure, too. It would be a good combo. So coming up, Gabe Maldonado, Gracie St. Pete. All right, Gabe, welcome, sir. How are you?
Good, sir. Glad to be here.
Very polite. Thank you. We got Cherie Smith is here, too, as well.
What's up?
I guess fiance, but you started like taking classes with Gabe, right? That's how it all started?
Yep, that's how I met this handsome fellow right here.
He's blushing right now. Here, you can move this however you want, so it's comfortable if you want to push it down a little bit or up. Yeah. So, Gabe, are you the owner of Gracie St. Pete here?
Yeah, co-owner. I run the gym with a fellow named Anton Yelch, who's a superb martial artist, and we opened the gym together about almost 2 years ago now. I think, actually, this last week was our two-year anniversary, so...
So how do you get, I mean, a name like Gracie is synonymous with MMA. Everybody who even if you're not a avid watcher, you still know who Gracie is. How do you open a gym with his name on it? Is it just kind of like a franchise thing?
Yeah, I mean, you could think of it like a franchise. My coach Rob Kahn was one of Hoist Gracie's first black belts promoted in the U.S., and I'm one of Rob's black belts, so... We're in that Gracie lineage, so I guess that's why we can use the name. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of more set up as a not necessarily a franchise, but more of like, I guess, how would you describe that? Almost like a pyramid scheme, like an awesome pyramid scheme. Yeah.
So you're also a fighter too. I mean, you fought professionally in some. I was looking you up a little bit. 2-1.
Yeah, I dabble a little bit. I wouldn't consider myself like a career like MMA fighter, but I like to compete and you know, stay fresh.
They're pretty far apart. So there's one in like 2008, 2013, 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, I got into the sport really early, before there was any amateur in Florida, and fought my first professional fight. Yeah, in like 2006, you know, had a good fight, caught a triangle early, and yeah, didn't really get back into it again until a couple years ago. Fought, took a pretty bad TKO in the first round, really early, and then just recently had another fight, and scored a KO in the third round and. Had a good showing.
So how does it feel to get knocked out in front of a bunch of people? I mean, I've been in fights like in high school, but those are like, you know, not the same, not because people are going to actually watch this thing. I mean, I guess people watch high school fights too, but not like competitively. And to see people that, you know, are cheering for you and then you get knocked down. And then when you finally get back up, it must be an interesting feeling.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's something else. For me, it was like the rug had gotten pulled out from under my feet. You know, I was just getting set, getting into the fight. You know, I was landing all the exchanges up until I got knocked out. And, you know, I fell into a clinch with this guy who was like a really good wrestler. I think it was like Division I, wrestled for Arizona State University. Shout out to Patrick Williams, did a great job. And, yeah, caught me with a good elbow. And I just kind of like I felt the zap and – as I was coming to, the ref was talking to me, hey, do you know where you are? Da 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 da, you know, and it kind of dawned on me, like, oh shit, I lost.
I just lost, yeah. Yeah, it's got to be a bummer. But then you win, too, and that's got to be one of the best feelings in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rarely, you know, there's a lot of adrenaline, there's a lot of emotion involved. But for me, I think, I don't know, I think I experienced it a little bit different. For me, it was just like kind of relief. When I got done with the fight and I won, I was like, thank God that's over with. I can go back to my normal life, you know, and drink some beers and relax on the weekends. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of training, right? You got to, like, can't drink beer. You can't eat bad. You got to – it's, like, rigorous for weeks and weeks, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, you're all in for, you know, typically 4 to 6 weeks. You're all in. You know, everything is about the fight. You know, you're weighing yourself after every poop and you're
– Everyone in the household knows how much he weighs after every poop. Even the young one was asking.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's a really great way to like push yourself and get yourself out of the comfort zone so that you progress. You know, it's hard to really go that hard in training and isolate your weak spots when you don't have something to you know, to work towards. You know, when you don't have a fight coming up or a competition, or you know, you kind of get a little bit stagnant, I think. So it's good to compete every once in a while.
So if you wanted to fight again soon, how do you go about getting a fight in the smaller circuits? Do people approach you, or do you have to say, hey, I'll fight in your thing if you want?
Yeah, kind of, yeah, more like that. The last fight I got, I've been training with a guy named Vince McGinnis who runs Bang Muay Thai Tampa, and he was scheduled to fight on the card, and I just asked him, hey, you know, if there's another opening, see if you can get me on there. And he asked the promoter, Joe Valdez, and he said okay, and so, you know, it's pretty easy to get onto mixed martial arts cards. If I wanted to,
with no training, just said, yeah, I'll fight in this thing.
You could get into an amateur event pretty easily.
Right. I'm not going to do that, by the way.
but now they do a really good job with making sure that they match the guys up well and that nobody gets, you know, seriously hurt in there, completely outmatched. So.
I was watching I'm a kind of a casual watcher, like UFC and stuff, and my friend ordered the Nate Diaz Conor McGregor fight, so I figured, yeah, okay, I'll go watch that. Oh, yeah. And I sent out a tweet because it was such a good fight. Like, even as a novice and not watching it, I knew it was a good one. And I sent out a tweet, they should just go until one of them gets knocked out. And I got berated about how people will die if you do that. People will literally keel over and die. And I think there was an instance, too, with Kimbo and what's that other guy? The guy who does the dog fight.
Dada 5000.
Dada 5000, where he died for a minute. His heart literally stopped. And is that, I mean, how concerning is that for you as somebody who's, you know, participates in the sport?
Yeah, 100%. You know, you think about that. I think about that. You know, consciousness is like the most important asset that you have, you know, and without it, you can't experience anything else. So, you know, you're risking the most important thing, you know, that you have. And I think a lot of that, the serious, you know, health risks more so revolve around cutting weight and being hydrated for the fight, you know, and having good, you know, matches, you know, having a fair match, you know, more so than the sport being super, super dangerous. But there's always the risk of brain injury. You know, I mean, I feel like as long as you're prepared and you, you know, you don't overdo the weight cut, typically you should be okay.
Because you have to dehydrate yourself, right? That's
All these guys come in really heavy, so everybody wants the advantage of being the bigger fighter. So, you know, typically, like if you're like for me, if I were to fight at 145 pounds, I might weigh 160 pounds. You know, the week leading up into the fight, you know, and 7 pounds will be I'll cut water the day before. So, you know, that's a lot of fluid coming out of your body, and it heightens the risk of getting. Brain injury because that fluid that protects your brain from the rest of your skull is kind of depleted. So, you know,
When I thought about MMA, I didn't really think about. I mean, I know obviously you're getting punched in the head,
sure,
but it seems safer to me than even boxing or football or you know contact sports like that. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think so. Definitely more so than football. And boxing, I think it's the repetitive concussions that are doing the most harm. Where guys are getting concussed, you know, especially with the helmets on in football, they bang each other, they shake it off, you know, and they're still in the game. Maybe they took a little bit of a concussion because every time your brain slaps against your skull, you're getting a minor concussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that happens repeatedly, you know, somebody was talking to me about Junior Seau and how he had like some really bad depression after taking tons of concussions, you know, on the football field and shot himself in the chest so that they could. You know, check out his brain afterwards, and man, it's scary stuff.
Yeah, there was a guy in Kansas City, too. He was like a second-year player, and he like killed his girlfriend and then shot himself in the chest in the car in like the Chiefs practice parking lot area. It's really sad, man. He was young, too. You hear about the older guys that this happens to, but I mean, they start playing when they're, most of them are playing when they're his age, you know, 8, 9 years old, and they're playing 20 years, 30 years, are just getting your head beaten in. Consistently, it's kind of scary stuff. I think the way to get around that in football is you got to take away the helmets.
Yeah.
And people are going to hate it.
Well, they're talking about that with amateur, you know, boxing and MMA, taking away the headgear because it gives a bigger target. You can't see as well, so, you know, you can't get out of the way as well, you know, and you're not used to training with a headgear unless you're, you know, seriously sparring. You might put it on, but most of the time you're not going to have headgear on. So you're going into a fight now with something that you're not used to training in. And, again, it's just a bigger target, and your head's bouncing against it when you do get hit. So I think they may have actually put something on the books about taking it off. I know it's a big discussion.
Because I know in football they lead with their heads. And if you don't have a helmet on your head, I don't think you're going to put your head out there.
Yeah.
Hit knocked around. So how did you get into the sport? When did you start?
I've been doing martial arts on and off since I was a little guy, probably like 5, 6 years old. I did some judo for a couple years in Arizona. And then when I moved to Florida at around 15 or 16, I started training some karate and kickboxing. And then Rob Kahn came down in 2005 and opened up Gracie Tampa. And that's kind of when I started to get serious about like combat martial arts, you know, and competing because, you know, he has just such an amazing program and so many talented guys around him that, you know, it was a really, really exciting time to be, you know, training in the sport. And it was new, you know, so, you know, we had a lot of excitement. We put like maybe 10, 11 guys in the UFC over the course of
from here
the last 10 years. Yeah. Out of Tampa. Out of
no
Tampa,
kidding.
Yeah.
Is this a big area for that?
Yeah. Central Florida really. And a lot of it is due to Rob is a real big hotbed. There's like a really big pocket of martial arts. There's 12 of our schools in the Tampa Bay area, the Gracie Tampa schools. And then there's a couple really good schools down in like Miami and South Florida. And you got the Army down there. You got Fight Sports down there and stuff. So Florida, you know, I would say behind California and New York, Florida is probably the third you know, biggest hotspot for jiu-jitsu in the country.
That's interesting. So what did you start doing when you first started doing martial arts?
I started with judo and, like, traditional Japanese jiu-jitsu. This guy, George, I forget his last name, really good coach, you know, in Sierra Vista. And it was cool. I got put in because I was kind of a nerdy kid, so I got picked on a little bit and, you know, kind of excelled at it. Me and my brother, my older brother, were doing it. And, you know, we won some competitions and had a good time doing it. And it kind of stuck with me. And I always wanted to pursue it. You know, I always kind of knew I wanted to be a ninja when I grew up. In fact, when I was in, like, I think it was like first or second grade, I had this typing assignment. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all the kids were like, oh, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a, you know, whatever. And I wrote, I want to be a ninja when I grow up because they fight good. You know, I had, you know,
watched. I don't think they have 401k plans. Probably doesn't pay that well, the ninja commodities. But so what is the benefits you found with doing MMA over other disciplines that you've done?
It's more realistic. It forces you to accept certain truths. You know, like when you are, especially in the striking disciplines, when we strike with each other on a daily basis, there's a certain amount that we have to hold back. You know, we can't really hit each other as hard as we can because some, you know, you're gonna get knocked out and blah blah blah. But in jiu-jitsu, we can train as hard as we want, and typically nobody's gonna get hurt. And so, on a daily basis, you're gonna have to submit, you know, however many times while you're rolling. And every time you submit, you're basically, you know, oh, you got me, you know, and you got me as you killed me. So doing that over and over again kind of allows, especially the male ego, to relax, you know. And I think that part of the reason why I'm a normal person today is because of jiu-jitsu, is because of, you know, being able to grapple and, you know, get out that energy and not feel like I have to put on this, you know, this persona, this ego while I'm walking around doing everyday things.
I feel like especially as a man, maybe as a woman too, you have to do things in order to become an adult. You have to break somebody's heart. You have to get your heart broken. You have to beat somebody up, and you have to get beaten up. And I think a lot of problem with today's young people is that they're not getting beaten up enough. There's no bullying anymore. You can't just punch a kid in the head without getting in a lot of trouble. And bullies were good. I think bullies made some great men. They made Bill Gates. They made, what's the other computer guy?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good that bullying does. So that's why I'm kind of excited this sport is getting more popular. Is he involved in it, your son?
Yeah, he's been training as long as I have, for 2 years. Basically, as soon as Gabe opened up Gracie St. Pete, I signed up both of us. So, yeah.
And have you noticed a change in him?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, like, even when he trains with, you know, students that are newer, he'll, you know, go very light, or if it's a girl, you know, so he's able to control himself, you know. And I've heard stories of other kids that train at the school, like, oh, some kid was picking on him, you know, and he just, like, walked away. And the dad's like, why didn't you, you know, stand up for yourself? And he's like, well, I train, and I know that I'll hurt him, you know. So it's like Gabe was saying, you know, especially like boys, you know, who are turning into men, they don't feel like they have to prove something because they know, you know, they have that self-confidence and they don't have to feel like, oh, I got to show that I'm, you know, bigger and badder and, you know, that kind of thing. So
is there a lot of kids that take part in it now?
Yeah, it's super popular. I mean, we have like 20 little guys running around the gym on a daily basis. And, you know, I think it's getting more and more popular as the UFC gets more popular. You know, parents are becoming more aware of mixed martial arts, or specifically jiu-jitsu, as an avenue to, you know, help develop their kids and instill discipline and stuff like that. So it's definitely growing for sure.
And do they fight too? Like, how?
Whew.
I mean, we have competition, jiu-jitsu competitions, and they go out there, you know, it's almost kind of like a wrestling meet, I guess.
Yeah.
Similar type style.
The jiu-jitsu competitions are awesome. You know, I think competing in grappling is for everyone. But they also have, like, sport MMA for kids, and that's something that I'm not really behind. You know, I like to see the kids wait till they're 15, 16, until they start really, you know, fighting
some
sport.
Some ethical reasoning there, right? I mean, is it ethical to put kids in the ring and beat each other up?
I mean, they spar at the gym, so I think that's like a safer place because there's, again, nothing to prove. You put them into a competition, you know, then they are, you know, trying to win. They're not okay with giving up the tap. They're not okay with, you know, the fight being over if they're not protecting themselves. So it puts that outside pressure on the match. Instead of it being a fun learning environment, it's now an aggressive, you know, winning environment.
You got parents yelling and screaming, you know, ah, you know, get him, Johnny, throw your left, you know.
Like, hit him in the liver. He's 9 years old.
Kid, yeah.
Yeah. Gabe Maldonado and Cherie Smith from Gracie St. Peter joining me on the Homemade broadcast this week. Cherie, you going to fight? What's up?
I don't know. After seeing this weight cut that Gabe did, I don't know. It's popped in my head, but you know, I know that it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of hard work. I've seen Gabe do it. I've seen a lot of the other guys, amateur and pro, do it. And the girls, too. And I just don't know if I have that much dedication. You know, it's a lot of hard work.
If you really want to be nowadays in 2016, if you want to be in the UFC, you have to start early, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't be 35 years old, get into the sport, and expecting to get in there and mix it up with the guys at that level, but you know, you could be, you know, a teenager, you know, you can jump into it at college, but the earlier the better, obviously. You know, like, you want to be, I like to see kids start around 6-7, you know, no earlier than that. Mm-hmm. And you know, start training, and it's tough too, because if you can't start a kid at that age with the intention of him becoming a UFC champion, you know, it's the kid's got to love it. You got to let him have fun with it, you know, give him space, you know, let him have a good time, and then as he progresses, you know, and he, you know, shows more and more interest, then, you know, push that competition. I've seen a lot of kids get burnt out because their parents, you know, push them too hard. You know, we saw this documentary on Netflix. What was that called? Trophy Kids.
Oh, I saw that too. That was crazy. Yeah, that poor kid, the football player one. Oh. And his dad was just the worst.
It's 5 a.m., get up, take these supplements, do this, do that.
And then just rip him apart if he misses a tackle or something. I mean, it was horrifying to watch. And there's a lot of parents out there who try to live vicariously through their children, which is pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
So how did this sport take off? I know Dana White was a game changer for MMA. How did this happen? Because now it's more popular than, I was even going to say football at this point. It seems like a lot of people are into it.
Yeah, that is true, huh? I would say, like, the turning point was, like, there was, like Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin was, like, a huge turning point. It was, like, the culmination of the reality TV show that they were putting on, The Ultimate Fighter. And there was a lot of viewership, and the fight was just a barn burner. I mean, it was an amazing fight. Both those guys put everything out there. And, you know, you had stars at that time, like Chuck Liddell, who, like, a lot of guys could relate to, you know, typical, you know, American guy. And, you know, you had the heel, you had Tito Ortiz, he was the heel at that time, you know, and there was a really good, there was, you know, good stories in MMA, and I think that people want to see that, people want to see combat, you know, people want entertainment, you know, the WWE is huge, you know, but at the end of the day, it's still not, you know, it's not real combat, you know, but I think on some level, since the Roman days, the Greek days, you know, we want to, you know, see combat, you know, it's part of our genetic makeup, you know, I think now you're seeing a resurgence of that, and it's way better than it's ever been. You know, martial arts has come such a long way since, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu hit the States, and America got a hold of it, and we started to, you know, develop mixed martial arts, and now it's unbelievable, you know, how good these guys are, you know, the type of athletes that we're drawing to the sport, and yeah, it's definitely the most exciting thing out there, for sure.
How did it become what it is today? Because it originally started with just jiu-jitsu, right? And then how did it turn into this modern MMA that you see now?
Well, mixed martial arts has kind of existed in various forms, you know, in the past, you know, Vale Tudo and Pancrase. But I think, you know, the way the UFC got started was the Gracie family used to have challenge matches where they would just challenge anybody to come into their gym and if they could beat them, you know, to test their, you know, the style, the system, to see jiu-jitsu's effectiveness. And so I think it was Horion who put on the first UFC and to showcase jiu-jitsu. And funny enough, they picked Hoist to do it, not because he was like the star of the family. Like, Hickson was really known at that time as, like, you know, the bruiser, you know, the real, you know, lion of the family. But Hoist was kind of like the more, you know, the thin guy, very
athletic.
Yeah, unathletic looking. Yeah.
Comparatively to other, you know, combat sports.
Yeah, 100%. And to see him get out there and submit these huge guys, like, you know, Ken Shamrock and Kimo, you know, kind of spoke to the everyday guy, like, oh man, if he can do it, you know, then I can do it. So, you know, I think that kind of like sparked a lot of interest with the you know, combat bus at the time, and, you know, just kind of took off from there.
Who's the best fighter that maybe a lot of people don't know of that you see out there right now? Whether it doesn't have to necessarily be UFC, but I mean, I know there's a lot of different, what's some other ones? Sure Dog and Bellator. Yeah, those ones.
Man, there's a lot of guys. I mean, there are a couple of local guys that are really, really good. Vince McGinnis out of Bang Muay Thai Tampa. I mean, he's excellent. Very tall, rangy guy, excellent kickboxer. There's a dude, Trey Martin, I think is his last name. He's, I think, like 10-1 maybe right now.
Just got on that one card, and they did a write-up on him.
Yeah, they did a nice little article on him, and he's doing great. Excellent fighter, you know, very well-rounded. There's a lot of really good, talented guys that are still somewhat undiscovered, you know, and it just takes that right amount of luck and, you know, seizing the opportunity, you know, get that luck to get that really nice fight that can put you in the limelight, and then having the ability to perform under stress, you know, and you're right there in the mix. Like a local guy, Mike Perry, just made it onto the UFC and has been knocking everybody out, and he's a local guy.
Are there any, like, local promotions if people are fans of UFC and maybe want to see more locally based Tampa Bay? Is there any promotions out there for them?
Yeah, the Real Fighting Championship, RFC, is really good. They put on a really good show.
World-Class Fight League for amateur.
Yeah, for amateur.
And WCFL.
And those guys, they start and finish on time. They usually have, like, 15 to 20 fights on the card.
You're in a nice hotel lobby where, you know, you can have a bar and go and get some drinks.
Do they do it literally in the hotel lobby?
Not the lobby, but you know where they have like the
banquet hall.
Banquet hall and stuff like that. Is some of the, like, the amateur promotions. You're like in a bar, some random bar, like 3 hours from here in the boonies, and you know, so there's a nice location to sit and watch the fights and enjoy yourself.
Are you gonna fight again, you think?
Yeah, most definitely. I'll fight again. I have my school now, so I can't really devote too much time to it, you know, and be really consistent with it, because it takes away from, you know, the kids and all the students that we have. But, you know, as soon as I start getting bored again or I feel the itch, what I'd like to do now is kind of compete in some jiu-jitsu stuff, you know, and do some no-gi competitions for a little while I, you know, work on the gym. And then, you know, sooner or later I'll get the itch again and get in there.
How do people get involved if they want to? Because you can become part of the gym. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to get beat up, right, if you want to do it for exercise?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, just get online and you know, search for your nearest jiu-jitsu academy or mixed martial arts academy or kickboxing, whatever, you know, whatever you kind of have like a penchant towards, and call them up. Give them a call. Check their vibe. Get in there. Try a free class and take it from there. The hardest thing to get people into the gym is breaking past that first barrier of intimidation, you know, because most guys, when they go into a mixed martial arts academy or jiu-jitsu academy, they think they're going to get thrown to the wolves. You know, it's going to be a bunch of jocks and everybody's going to be hostile, but it's the complete opposite. You know, a jiu-jitsu gym is comprised mainly of video gamers, computer programmers, and just nerds of all sort, you know, D&D players, you know, and I would recommend getting in there, trying a couple classes, and having a good time. I mean, it's a really awesome sport, and it's a great way to get your mental exercise, your physical exercise, and your social interaction all in one shot.
What would people expect if they walked in? What would be, like, the class, like, what would be the training and the exercises you would do?
So typically for like a jiu-jitsu class, you know, you get in there and you start by warming up. You know, you start moving around, maybe, you know, run some laps, getting on the floor and doing some movements that mimic your, you know, the typical movements in grappling, followed by, you know, maybe some stretching, And then, like, for our academy, we have, like, a different topic that we cover. Every 2 weeks, we'll be focusing on the guard or the side mount or the mount every 2 weeks. And so we'll cover a couple moves, one or two or three moves that deal with that particular position, you know, until you kind of get the feel for it. We'll explain the position and try to give you as much understanding as we can. And then at the end of the class, we'll drill it. So you'll get a chance to use it against, you know, resisting opponents at a pace that's not full-out sparring. And typically the sparring happens after class, you know, during the open mat. Guys will get together, stop bump, and just start sparring. You know, and so if you're a guy who's, you know, maybe you're a little bit older, you're a business guy, you're not looking to get beat up too much, you take class, and during the open mat, you know, you run some drills, or you sit on the wall, you talk, you know, talk about your day, whatever. But if you're a young guy and you want to compete, you want to get a really good workout in, then after class you stay for, you know, another hour or two and roll and get your sparring in.
So are they, like, you're with the same group kind of all the time?
Yeah, you know, for us, we have like our beginner classes that meet at like 7:15, and typically we get, you know, the same regulars almost every day, and then other guys that will make it in, you know, two or three times out of the week. So typically, you know, each day of the week you're going to have like that central group that stays the same, and then, you know, some other guys that, you know, get changed in and out. And then after you kind of get the fundamentals down, you jump into the advanced program, which meet a little bit earlier. And then typically those guys, you'll see the same guys every class, you know, cause it's a little bit smaller of a class and they're a little bit more, you know, consistent. So yeah, you'll develop really good, you know, strong bonds, you know, with the people that are going to be in the class. You can expect to see your same buddies in there, you know, on a consistent basis. So it's really cool.
All right, Gabe, Sheree, thank you very much for coming in. We got to get out of here. Do you have any plugs, social media or?
Check out, if you're in the St. Pete area, check out Gracie St. Pete. And if you're in Clearwater, Gracie Clearwater, any of the Gracie schools around Tampa Bay, check them out. And I guess that's it.
No Twitter, nothing like that?
Instagram.
Instagram, Gracie St. Pete.
Every couple, you know, months, we'll post a picture.
I might post a picture.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks, y'all.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Will.
All right, there you go. Gabe Maldonado, Sheree Smith from Gracie St. Pete. Make sure you check out them on the web. Just Google Gracie St. Pete. Find out more info. I'm sure they're on Facebook, too. All that good stuff. And if you want to get in touch with me or the show, check out our Facebook page, of course, facebook.com/HMB Radio. And like the Radio St. Pete page as well while you're there, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. You can find us on Twitter at -home_made_man. And Radio St. Pete is just Radio St. Pete, all one word. You can call us, 813-693-2124. You can leave a message, or you can also text. Future is here, folks. You can even text. Nobody likes talking on the phone. So send me a text. And you can email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. My name is Will Coons. Thank you very much for tuning in. New Ian Beckel show coming up next week. Actually, this will be out Monday, so make sure you check it out. Exciting stuff happening over here at HMB Radio. Talk to you next week. Have a good one. See you.